Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Brian Entrekin.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. I'm your host, Brian Entrekin, a.k.a. KC Bubba. You can find me on the Twitter at BDEntrek, B-D-E-N-T-R-E-K. Here to recap Monday's action on the diamond, get you ready for Tuesday's full slate of action. So let's get crack-a-lackin', as it was a fun-filled Monday on the diamond. Kick things off with some positive stuff here. The Baltimore Orioles are calling up one of their top prospects. Yes, they have many of them. And Heston Kjerstad, outfielder for the Baltimore Orioles. He had a cup of coffee last year. Things didn't go great, but he's ready to rock and roll, it looks like, this year. Through 21 games at AAA, Kjerstad is hitting .349 with 10 home runs and 30 RBIs. He also scored 28 runs along the way there. Austin Hayes is heading to the IL to clear up space there for Heston Kjerstad. We'll see where he plays. I'm kind of wondering about the playing time, because Hayes kind of took a backseat to Colton Cowser. You still have Mullins out there. You still have Santander. There's DH spots there a little bit. So curious to see how it works. You wouldn't really want to call Heston Kjerstad up just to sit on the bench, but we shall see if he gets regular playing time. Must add in fantasy. Brian Wu of the Seattle Mariners pitched a rehab start on Sunday. He threw three shutout innings, five strikeouts, 35 pitches, zero hits, zero walks. Perfect. Three perfect innings for Brian Wu, which is what you want to see in these rehab starts. We will likely need two to three more starts to get fully stretched out before rejoining the Mariners rotation. Minnesota Twins news, Louis Varland has had a rough start to the season, I guess fair to say, for Louis Varland. And on Monday, he was sent back to AAA. Manager Rocco Baldelli said Varland was sent down to clear his head so he can work things out and then hopefully come back and join the team. We shall see. Rony Henriquez was recalled from AAA, a relief pitcher. He threw two innings after Paddock left the bump on Monday. Henriquez looked okay, but I think the moral of the story is the Twins have already said Simeon Woods Richardson, prospect pitcher, is lined up to join the Twins rotation when they next need him, which you'd imagine would be Louis Varland's spot later this week. Max Kepler of the Twins rejoined the team on Monday as expected. Jair Camargo was sent back to AAA to make room for Kepler. On Monday night in his return, Kepler went 2-for-4 with a double and three RBIs. Bryce Harper of the Philadelphia Phillies was placed on the paternity list on Monday. Congratulations to Bryce and his wife, as they're expecting another child. Usually the paternity list means a player will be out three games for the birth of their child. We'll see, give or take. Cody Clemens was called up to take Harper's spot on the roster, and Clemens proceeded to go deep on Monday night. Nick DeShrini of the Chicago White Sox, prospect pitcher, got roughed up a bit on Sunday, fair to say, in that one. And after that start, he was sent packing back to AAA to work things out. With DeShrini going back to AAA, John Brebbia was activated from the IL. Brebbia was signed earlier this year to be the expected closer for the White Sox. Michael Kopech has since taken those reins, but we'll kind of wait and see what the White Sox do with John Brebbia. More White Sox news. Danny Mendick has been crushing baseball, like home runs, like four home runs in the last like week for Danny Mendick, which is weird to see. And he has earned a promotion back to the big club. To make room for Mendick, Lennon Sosa was sent back to AAA. Mendick went 2-for-4 with two singles on Monday night. If he can show like even half his quality of hitting he was doing at AAA with the White Sox, Mendick will have deeper league appeal. Pete Fairbanks of the Tampa Bay Rays has been struggling mightily of late, blowing saves, having some great locker room conferences and more. And on Monday, he was placed on the IL with a nerve-related issue. I kind of chuckle because that can be a million things. It could be in the elbow, forearm, shoulder, neck, back, you name it. It can be all over the place. Play a game of Operation, there's nerves all over your body. You'd imagine it's something to do with his throwing arm. That's what you'd imagine. And we'll have to kind of wait and see, because they're not giving us a whole lot to work with here. But I recorded a Bench with Bubba episode 668 on Monday, and I was joined by Ben Tidd. And he pointed out a great point that when Jeffrey Springs went on the IL last year, it was with a nerve-related issue, which shortly turned into Tommy John surgery. Now, I'm not saying Fairbanks is going to have TJ, but that's on the table based on what we got from the past history from the Tampa Bay Rays. With Fairbanks out, Jason Adams should take over closing duties. He's done very well in that role in the past when Fairbanks is out. So feel free to roster Jason Adams wherever you need saves, especially if you find out Fairbanks is going to miss a fair share of time. Kevin Kelly was recalled from AAA to take Fairbanks' spot on the roster. Wade Miley of the Milwaukee Brewers made his first start of the season last week after battling injuries to get back to the active roster, but he goes right back to the IL. On Monday, the Brewers placed Miley on the IL with left elbow inflammation. Tobias Myers is being recalled to take Miley's roster spot. And Myers has a 1.62 ERA over 16 and two-thirds innings at AAA with 22 strikeouts. Robert Gasser is a name a lot of people are looking forward to seeing as well. Gasser will throw four innings for Nashville on Thursday. As they said, he needs to get stretched out some more. But after that Thursday outing, there's a good chance he could rejoin the Brewers as some extra rotation help as well. So Tobias Myers should get the first run here. Robert Gasser might be just around the corner. Some freaky news. Jacob Junis of the Brewers was hit by a ball in batting practice. An ambulance came to take him away to the hospital. He was conscious and responsive, but no further news has been released. That was kind of a scary situation that we're still waiting to kind of see what's going on. All right, some more news here for you. We got a little bit of heads up on the Astros rotation. As we know, Christian Javier just went to the IL. They called up Spencer Arrighetti and all that kind of stuff. Well, we found out J.P. France will be the starting pitcher on Tuesday, Spencer Arrighetti on Wednesday, and Justin Verlander on Thursday. For any of those of you guys in streaming leagues or daily move leagues, that's how the Astros are going to be playing things out here this week. Frankie Montas of the Cincinnati Reds left Sunday's game after taking a line drive off his arm, as we reported yesterday. And on Monday, Montas was placed on the IL with a right forearm contusion. Casey Legumnia was recalled from AAA to take his roster spot. Throughout the minor leagues, he's just been a reliever this year. And so Nick Martinez is expected to take Montas' spot in the rotation. The Reds expect Frankie Montas to miss two starts. Some good news, Ozzy Albies, who went on the IL with a broken foot or like a fractured foot a week ago, he's expected to return for the IL when available this Friday. As long as things continue to go in the right way, we might get Ozzy Albies back in our life on Friday. A nice quick return from the IL. We haven't had a whole lot of those this year, so that's kind of nice. Manny Machado was placed on the paternity list on Monday. Congratulations to the Machados. He'll be out for a few games. Matthew Baton was recalled from AAA to fill his roster spot. Paul Sewald, Arizona Diamondbacks. Sewald has been working his way back from injury, and he's scheduled to begin his rehab assignment with AAA Reno on Tuesday. He'll throw one inning for the Aces. He'll need a few appearances, kind of like watch the Jordan Romano situation. But this just means that Sewald is very close to returning. And if all goes well, maybe this weekend, beginning of next week, Paul Sewald could be back in that Arizona bullpen, and all those Kevin Ginkle shares might get put to the side. Some Oakland A's news, Ken Waldichuk and Luis Medina, both starting pitchers for the A's, are going to travel with the team and throw a few bullpens this week. After that, they'll start their rehab assignments next week. If all goes well, they'll both be stretched out to join the A's rotation. Waldichuk was very good at times towards the end of last season, especially in the strikeout department. So was Medina. Just Medina has more control issues, but he's got probably better stuff than most of the pitchers in that rotation. So could be some interesting, at least deeper league fantasy appeal, streaming appeal with Waldichuk and Medina. Some Rays updates for you because they have a lot of injuries. Taj Bradley, Jonathan Aranda, and Johnny DeLuca are all expected to start their AAA Durham rehab assignments very soon, probably middle of this week, give or take, which is great to hear. Josh Lowe is recovering well. He's healthy. He's just working on his timing right now after missing all spring training. He should be back with the Rays. It would be any day. Like there could be a, once he says he's good to go or shows them he's good to go, Josh Lowe is back in Tampa Bay. So just keep an eye on that one. Then Shane Boz, he's scheduled for a two inning game in an extended spring training game. So Boz is trying to find his way back to the mound as he eventually tries to make his way to the big league roster. All right, before we take a look at today's or Monday's highlights and a look at Tuesday on the diamond, let's take a quick break and hear from our sponsors. And welcome back to the First Pitch Podcast brought to you by PitcherList.com. I'm your host, Brian Intrigan, a.k.a. KC Bubba. Some hitting highlights from Monday. Dalton Varsho stays red hot, 1-for-3 with a home run, a run score, two RBIs, and a walk. Varsho's now hitting .246 on the air with six homers, 15 runs scored, 13 RBIs, and two stolen bases. He's really ramped it up, hitting well over .350 over the last week. So big boy stuff there from Dalton Varsho. Travis d'Arnaud is filling in beautifully for the injured Sean Murphy. D'Arnaud's went 2-for-4 with a home run, a run scored, and 2 RBIs on Monday. Travis is hitting .273 with 5 home runs, 11 runs scored, and 14 RBIs on the season. All 5 of those home runs have come in his last 4 games. Then Mason Wynn, he didn't go deep, but I wanted to highlight just how sneaky good Mason Wynn's been this year. On Monday, Mason Wynn went 1-for-2 with a run scored, a walk, and a stolen base. Wynn's now hitting .323 on the year with 5 extra base hits and 4 stolen bases. He's scoring some runs, drives in a few, but he's hitting for average. He's stealing bags. He's playing every single day because he's got elite defense. I highlighted him recently on a Bubba and the Bloom Fab episode with Ryan Bloomfield, and it's just one of those things. In deeper formats, Mason Wynn has middle infield appeal with all the injuries there, slash at shortstop. There's upside to Mason Wynn, and if he can ever crack into the power source, could be a nice little ball player there. But for fantasy, speed, batting average, nice little asset in deeper formats. If you want to get all the day's hitting news and more, make sure you check out the Daily Batters Box article on PitcherList.com. Some starting pitching highlights from Monday. Chris Paddock, the sheriff. He was holding down court, folks. 7 shutout innings for Paddock, 6 hits, no walks, and 10 strikeouts as he took care of business on the lowly Chicago White Sox, who were shut out for the 8th time this season in 23 games, which is the first team in MLB history to do so. They were 7-22 games, tied with like one other team. Now they are the first team ever for 8-23. That is just world-class impressive stuff. And they have also been shut out at least once in every single one of their 8 series this season. What a horrific team the Chicago White Sox are. Chris Paddock had 16 whiffs and a 32% CSW over 96 pitches. Much needed after a horrific start his last time out. J.P. Sears went into a little day game action in the Bronx and took care of business. Sears went 6 innings, no runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts of the New York Yankees. Whew, they're struggling. 14 whiffs and a 31% CSW for Sears on 91 pitches. Albert Suarez of the Orioles keeps getting stretched out, keeps getting the job done. 5 2/3 shutout innings for Albert Suarez against the Angels on Monday night. 4 hits, 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts. Suarez at 16 whiffs and a 28% CSW on 89 pitches. He's now made 3 appearances, and Suarez has thrown 11 1/3 innings, 0 earned runs with 9 strikeouts. Make sure you tune into the Plus Pitch podcast with Nick Pollock. Read his daily SP roundup to get caught up on all things starting pitching. So relief pitching highlights from Monday. Mason Miller, whew, not safe for work if you saw those clips, folks. 5th save of the year from Miller. David Bednar picked up his 3rd save of the year for the Pirates. Marcel Iglesias, his 7th save of the year for the Atlanta Braves. Jordan Romano saved 3 already since he's come back middle last week. 3 saves for Romano at the Jays. Robert Suarez getting it done with his 8th save of the year for the San Diego Padres. And Craig Kimbrel saved 6. It was close. Got a little rocky there in Anaheim, but Kimbrel locked it down for his 6th save of the year for the Baltimore Orioles. Make sure you read the Daily Reliever Ranks article on PitcherList.com for more information about all things relief pitching. All right, let's take a quick look at Tuesday's action on the diamond. We're talking DFS. Got 10-game main slate starting at 7:05 p.m. Eastern time. A lot of weird options here because you have some like pretty good pitching, but a lot of bad pitching. On the pitching side, give me Grayson Rodriguez at the Angels, Logan Webb in the Mets, Kevin Gausman at Kansas City, Luis Severino at the Giants, Michael King at Colorado, and Dane Dunning versus Seattle. Webb, Gausman, King are really cheap for what they are. Severino and Dunning aren't bad. You have to pay for Grayson. Bats, there's tons of ways to go depending on how the lineups shake out. On Tuesday, we got the Cubs versus J.P. France. A lot of pitch to contact there. Padres and Coors versus Feltner. Feltner's been sneaky good, but it still gets beat up too. He's got really good peripheral stats. They haven't translated to real life yet. Baltimore versus Griffin Canning, who continues to scuffle. Atlanta versus Trevor Rogers, kind of interesting just because it's the Braves. But Minnesota versus Fetty. Miami versus Freed could be sneaky. And Toronto versus Waka. So lots of ways to go to see how the lineups shake out on Tuesday. And some things I'm looking forward to, Logan Webb as a homer, and just because he continues to go 6-7 innings, get the job done. It's just like it's impressive to see what he's doing out there. Maybe the Giants can get him some run support. Christopher Sanchez, love what he's doing. Great start his last time out. Now he goes into Great American Small Park. We just saw Ranger Suarez dominate on Monday night after he shut out his previous outing. What can Christopher Sanchez do for you on Tuesday? Max Fried versus Miami. Fried has not looked great to start this year. Can he take care of this Miami offense, or Miami going to make him look foolish? That's why Miami's kind of sneaky in tournaments on DFS, because if Fried is off, Miami can do some things. And then Kevin Gausman versus Kansas City. We saw the velo's back. He got it going. The control's still a little off, but in the end finished okay against the Yankees. Now he gets to take on the Royals. Really curious if the velocity's still there and he gets that command back, Gausman could slice and dice on Tuesday. But that'll do it, folks. Another episode of the First Pitch Podcast in the books. Before we head on out of here, make sure y'all go to pitcherlist.com. Go check out PL Plus, PL Pro. You won't regret it. Get you in the amazing Discord, talking all things baseball, fantasy, baseball, and more. Get you the cool new tools, PLV Plus. Gets you next weekend Fab Report podcast and much, much more coming down the pipeline there at pitcherlist.com. So go check it out, PL Plus, PL Pro. You won't regret it. That'll do it, folks. I'll be back with you guys tomorrow to recap Tuesday's action on the diamond and get you ready for Hump Day Wednesday. But for now, this was your First Pitch Podcast Tuesday, April 23rd edition. Hope you all have a great day.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.